this evening, I was again to direct your attention to the text we had before us this morning, which you will find in Psalm 89 and verse 15. Psalm 89 and verse 15. The blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In the remarks made this morning, one was this, that the teaching here is blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Some may be deeply troubled as to even the certainty that they are the children of God. And others may be troubled of their deficiency in one way or another in regard to revealed truth and sanctified truth and truth which is applied. But we can leave those particular points, though important in themselves, to look at one characteristic of the people that God has blessed. And do remember that God does not bless the ungodly. He does not bless the heathen. Certainly not in a spiritual way. So there is something in this word, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. It is true to say that the people may hear the joyful sound, and yet they do not know it. And because they do not recognize it, they are not benefited from it. But it may well be food for thought as to how you react when the joyful sound of the everlasting gospel is proclaimed. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. There's no particular restriction laid upon the people. They may be rich, they may be poor. They may be educated, they may be illiterate. They may be masters, they may be servants. And they may be people that are taken notice of. They may be people that are, so to speak, cast to the wall. Just to mention a few differences that can be considered in regard to the people. Now, perhaps some of us would be willing to confess themselves as nobodies, and yet they could say that God by his grace has caused them to recognize the joyful sound. The joyful sound is set forth and is intended for certain characters. The fact that you may be in the congregation at the time of worship does not necessarily mean that you will be included in those people that know the joyful sound. Indeed, and no doubt many of us can go back to a time when, though we heard the joyful sound, we did not recognize the joyful sound. It is because God has performed a miracle that a great change has been made. I made a reference to my own case this morning in one incident. And that was when the servant of God preached from the words in the 35th Psalm, which ends, and he will come, and not the psalm, but the text, and he will come and save you. Now, I did not say this morning, but I say it now, that was a turning point in my life. Before, I listened evidently to the joyful sound, but had never recognized it. But from that day on, that evening on, the joyful sound was a very different thing to me. And so, we are bound to have, in most congregations, those who hear the joyful sound, yet do not recognize it. But blessed be God, if in all humility, we can say, yes, I recognize the joyful sound, and it has a deep effect upon me. My mind just goes to the Song of Solomon. And here is described to us a person who knew and knows still the joyful sound. It is described in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, the voice of my beloved. Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall, he looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. And the voice of my beloved. And then, in the 10th verse, my beloved spake, and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. And it is very clear from the scripture account that the bride of Christ received it as a joyful sound. And certainly it must be with all those who are included in the bride of Christ will know his voice. The work of God is very remarkable in bringing about the development of the natural body and faculties. And equally so, in regard to God's wonderful work in bringing about a sinner and causing that sinner to receive the benefit and blessing of the new birth. And such people will rejoice in the joyful sound, but not more than anything else, than to hear the voice of their beloved. Now, as we sit here, as we are here together this evening, is it that we want to hear the voice of our beloved? And if God should condescend to speak, whether it is even a word of correction, a word of chastisement, a word to put us right, which will still, so to speak, cleave unto the Lord God Almighty. And under these circumstances, we shall feel that we can say that we are numbered amongst these people. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Now, there is nothing that can be conveyed to you from my lips that can produce that in your soul that will rejoice in this joyful sound. It is God's work. And as I have already said, it will make a great change to your hearing. You will come to the house of God with a desire to worship God. We read in the book of Leviticus and also Numbers about the sounding of the trumpets. And the sounding of the trumpets in those days were used for several several things. For, without any words being spoken, orders and directions were given. During my army days, there was one occasion I know when there were no orders given. But the trumpets blew. And according to what the trumpets, the way in which the trumpets blew, so we knew whether to fall in line, or whether to go backward, or whether to halt, all without the sound of a human voice. How much more so sometimes, if the gospel is sounded by trumpets, and we can say, that trumpet gives a certain sound. And because of it, you will recognize it, and you know it has a certain sound, because a certain sound will have an effect upon your soul. Equally so, an uncertain sound will also have an effect upon your soul. But blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. But we must not tarry on this point. I would rather come to the second part of the verse. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. What a great truth is before us. The people that are blessed to know the joyful sound, they shall. Mark that it does not say there's a possibility that they will. Or they may. But they shall. And it is all because by the quickening spirit of God that capability is given to hear the joyful sound. And we should want to know what the voice says. We should no longer be walking under our own instructions or coming to our own conclusions. But by the grace of God shall commit our way unto the Lord every day, asking the Lord what we shall do, and what we should say, and how we should act in the varying circumstances. We should also ask, surely, that a sufficiency of strength and help may be given, and that when we come to the end of the day, it will be our privilege and benefit to join in the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts, praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they shall walk. And if the Lord is in our soul's experience, they shall walk. It may be that you have been greatly troubled because of impediments, and you've hobbled, and troubled because you could not walk as you would. Of course, this is some people's religion. They don't believe in anything more than hobbling. But the Word of God doesn't speak about it. The Word of God says they shall walk, strengthened with might in our inner man. They shall walk, O Lord. Whilst it is true that there are times when darkness seems to cover God's children in their pathway, yet even so, they shall walk. We haven't got to walk in the bright daylight. We may walk in the night time, and do remember the moon shines. And perhaps if you've been in the country and you have felt how valuable the moon has been. And it's God's light. It's not the light the lights that have been produced by men, but it's God's light. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. So it is light even so. Even though the light may not be the same as in the bright sunshine, the brightness of the day, yet in the pathway of God's people who know the joyful sound, there will be light both in the daytime and in the night. And if we should be concerned and troubled relative to the future sometimes, and come under great temptation, and wonder when we get to the end of the journey, the light will fail. We have this assuring word from the scriptures. I think it is in the prophecy of Zechariah. At evening time, it shall be light. And to the people of God, all come to the end of their journey in the light. When I've heard people speak of dying in the dark, to my mind, that's impossible with the people of God. And why do I say that? It is because I will, what is written in the scriptures, I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice. And so we have the words in the 14th of John, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And what is written concerning Jesus Christ? I am the light. I am the light. Therefore, he goes on to say, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And what he said resulted in his death. But what is his testimony? And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And the Lord Jesus says, I am the light. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, and said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had thus said, he fell asleep, but his eyes were enlightened. So whatever fears you may have relative to your dying day, be sure, be assured that the Lord will come. And whenever he comes, this is light. Oh, it is light. But we have here, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Our countenance, that is, our faces, are very reflective. And we can judge very often people's feelings by their faces. If they are distressed, we can see it. And if they are encouraged, we can see it. And if they are blessed with a clear view of God, that he is leading them forth by the right way, we can see it. And so then, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Now let us not be confused when we cannot perhaps sometimes see our way. And why cannot we see our way? It is because we're looking for the light in our countenance. Whilst we're instructed here to walk in the light of God's countenance. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. And how good that will be. Now they shall walk. It may well be that occasionally the Lord will say, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, that you may behold more clearly his glory. And surely if his glory is revealed, you'll see the light. They shall walk, however, but they're not to stand still. And we are walking. And if we are walking in the ways of God, very often we are not aware that we are walking in that way because we have another way in competition, and that is the way of the flesh. But even though the way of the flesh may contest our walking, yet eventually they shall walk, despite all the hindrances from our flesh. They shall walk, in other words, they shall put their trust in God. They shall hope in God. And especially if just a small light from God will produce encouragement. We read a word in the 119th Psalm, which no doubt is familiar to you. And that word is that thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp and a light. The word of God. We do not necessarily mean that we should lie, but that we should have a personal vision of the countenance of the Lord Jesus, but it is reflected in the Word of God. Now, have you sometimes felt, yes, God has shone upon your path because of the words that are recorded in the Scriptures of truth? And notice, they shall walk. God will, His purpose is that they shall walk, and the psalmist says elsewhere that he may be guided by God's counsel and afterwards received into glory. And very often, if we are taking a walk naturally, we need an objective, otherwise we shall just wander aimlessly. And certainly in regard to the walk of the people of God, God has set before them an object, a place to which they are pressing. John Bunyan refers to his character, Christian, when he came out of the Shroud of Despond, and doubtless was very much discouraged, that he was asked whether he could see yon wicked gate, which was intended to mean the beginning of the way, and he said he couldn't. Now here is something quite remarkable, because evangelist then says to Christian, can you see yon shining light? That's at the end of the way. And if you keep that light in view, you won't miss the mark. Now, of course, so very often, perhaps in our Christian thinking, we keep looking at the beginning of the way. And if we can't see it very clearly, then we are ready to be very despondent. But neither could the Christian in the Pilgrim's Progress. But the counsel of God through evangelist lips was, can you see shining light, the shining light? And he said, methinks I do. Well, God knew that he did. And he knows you can see the light if you can see it at all. Yon shining light. The shining light shines brightest in the darkness. And often we may think of the words of the poet, why through darksome paths we go. We may know no reason, but we shall hereafter know each in its due season. Oh, how the light shines when we seem to be walking in darkness as we look into the Word of God. And the light shines. We may turn the page, open the book. And there are times when the light shines upon a particular verse, and it's been the light of God's countenance. He has smiled. He has looked graciously upon us. He has been sympathetic towards us. And to accompany that indication of the light shining, thine ear shall hear the word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk in it. Turn either to the right hand and nor to the left. They shall walk. Sometimes we forget that which the apostle wrote to the church at Corinth. And he said, to them, ye are not your own. Ye are bought with a price. And therefore, we are to walk in our own light. And we do read in the prophecy of Isaiah of those who walk in the sparks of their own kindling. Eventually, those sparks will become dead and dark. But God's light will never go out. And why is that? Because the Word of God declares that it shall be an everlasting light. An everlasting light. And we may think upon this point. Let us not say, well, it's not an everlasting light to me. Do not measure it by when you can see it. Because God's light is still there when you can't see it. We have some cloudy days sometimes, and we cannot see the sun. It's still there. And God's everlasting light and his countenance, his brightness, still there. Even when clouds come along to interrupt. Yes, it is so. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Now, as we're walking upon life, through life's pathway with the objective of heaven itself, after perhaps years, some more, some less, of toiling, yet nevertheless, again and again, God has shined beyond our natural sight into our hearts. And we have felt that the light is within. Instead of being restricted to being outside of us, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance, a light which is within. A light which, so to speak, shines out onto the pathway, so that you are guided and directed. However dark it may appear to others, however strange it may appear to you, yet God's light shines. Now, perhaps you can think upon this in regard to your own personal experiences. Is it true that you've walked? And you've walked by the grace of God. And as you've walked, it has been in the light of God's countenance. But one aspect, it is to save you from pitfalls. To save you from snares. For although it is true to say, and seldom do we see the snare, but we feel the smart. But we walk. we do not walk in the darkness, although it may sometimes seem to be very dark. But God says here, they shall walk, O Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in the light of thy countenance. Which is a wonderful thing and experience as we go forward in life, to feel that we are not alone. Remember, I think it is the testimony of the psalmist when he says, I am not alone, for God is with me. Now, if God is with you, you've got the light. A solemn thing it is to be walking in darkness without any light at all. But whatever your natural feelings may be, if God is with you, then you've got the light by your side. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Now when God's children are conscious of this, it is a joyful sight, and it will also, so to speak, convey a joyful message. You will have the witness that you are not alone, but the Lord is with you, and therefore, though you are walking in darkness in one sense, yet you are not walking in darkness in another. I am with thee, Israel, passing through the fire. And the Lord was with Israel in the wilderness, and they were guided. And do remember that in the daytime, it was by a pillar of cloud, and in the nighttime, by a pillar of fire. But it was, under each circumstance, that which was requisite and necessary as they walked along in life's journey. So blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Sometimes, though not physically, life can be communicated by a voice. But you can imagine yourself suddenly lost in your pathway, speaking out of the natural order of things. And it is a mist comes down and covers you. You cannot see anything. Well, what a comfort and what a light if you hear a voice and you feel that someone is near. And how much more so if you feel that the Lord is near. And especially if it should encourage you and strengthen your spirit by his the light of his countenance falling upon those words, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And what follows in the scriptures, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Now these words evidently were addressed to the Lord himself. So it is a testimony. Are we able to bear this testimony by reason of the experience that God has given us, in leading us by the right way that we might go to a city of habitation, that we can say, and join with the voices of others, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. And I dare say that there are those who could join together, who have heard the joyful sound, and could bear this testimony to the glory of God. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. And when we've heard the joyful sound, when we've heard about the faithfulness of God, and when we have perhaps even read down this particular psalm, and seen the references which refer to God being with them. For example, God the assembly of the saints is made in reverence of all members about him. O Lord God of hosts, there is a strong Lord like unto thee. How are you going to prove it? You may not prove it if you're right and it's just natural. But you will prove it if the light shines, and it is shining in the light of God's countenance. Lord, to thy faithfulness round about thee, thou rulest the rage and the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. And so, we can follow a few verses until we come toward the end of our reading this morning, anyway. When the Lord speaks about his covenant. Perhaps not enough is said about God's covenant today, but the covenant of God is stabilizing because it speaks to us of God's unchanging word. And if that is so, God himself reveals that he is the same. Was he the light yesterday? Were you blessed with a little hope yesterday? Just the same today. Whether you can see it or not. I know there are extreme cases which are referred to in the Word of God. I think it is in Jeremiah where we read, my hope is perished from the Lord. But the light hadn't perished. If we should therefore come into what we would describe as a backsliding situation, when we perhaps wandered into bypass path meadow, and thinking that if we went that way it would be an easier pathway, then this is God's word in that connection. He shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. But we come to this point. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then when I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. And when this happens in Christian experience, it is as though the light shines. It may be a red light of warning, but nevertheless it's a light. Many people, perhaps even our friends, might be ready to write us off. And so this man and that woman began well, but now you see they're not lasting. But what does God say? And how blessed it will be if you are troubled in this way, and you listen to what God says. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness, that I will not lie unto David. Now, what is contained in the covenant here referred to? We will find the detail given to us in Jeremiah chapter 31. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And remember, this is an everlasting covenant, a covenant that can never be broken, because it's not made between God and man, but it is made between the Father and the Son, and watched over by the Eternal Spirit. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbour, and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them. and said to the Lord, Father, forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. So they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. They shall walk, and in order they may know the truth here, in the fear of the Lord. We have the exhortation in the scripture, be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And what a blessing it is. If the fear of the Lord becomes to us the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord becomes to us that warning to depart from evil. The fear of the Lord is to be amongst those who are watching daily at his gates and desiring to be directed by the light. The light. We read perhaps the unusual words in the first chapter of John's Gospel, where reference is made to the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But what a blessing for you and me. Even if the darkness is not capable of comprehending or being aware of its presence, yet because God has granted you the fear of the Lord, you can see the light in the darkness. And we do not always need to have a very strong light, because we have to walk by faith. And if the light was ever so strong, our natural part would soon be ready to completely dispense with the light altogether. So foolish that we would say, I can manage. So God is full of wisdom in the manner in which he directs our steps when he says they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Thy countenance. Have we ever seen the countenance of God? Now do remember, this, the second part of the verse, is not to be separated from the first part. So they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. And how are you going to know what you are, walking in the light of God's countenance? The answer is in the first part. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Now this joyful sound may be, so to speak, an exclamation which comes forth from your heart and is the effect of what you have seen. You have seen the glory of the Lord. We read in Isaiah that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. One of the great benefits as we go along in life's pathway, and surely this is the pathway of God's people, they see the glory of the Lord appearing for them, performing miracles for them, and everything that God does, if it's in the light of God's countenance, we shall see. It is filled with loving kindness. Sometimes we may be afraid. We see the Lord God reflected in his law, so full of holiness and righteousness. But have we also seen the face of Jesus reflected in the mirror of his grace? And what does that mean? Well, it means that I'm amazed to see myself so vile and Jesus smiling all the while. Wow. perhaps we could not comprehend that. But there it is. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. And sometimes that light of God's countenance will shine in to our hearts to make us feel our vileness and evil. And then, so to speak, the searchlight will turn from us and fix itself upon the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And as I have said, amazed to see myself so mild, but Jesus smiling all the while. All the while. He sees us when we see not him, and always hears our cry. So they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. This is a blessing to be amongst those who walk. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. By which we understand, they shall walk with me in the purity of my righteousness. And they shall walk, and how wonderful if the light shines upon your clothing which God has given to you. And especially if the light should also shine upon the efficacy and sufficiency of the blood of Jesus Christ. Do we think of Jesus, the blood of Jesus Christ? Sometimes, for myself, I sometimes think that I do not think enough about it. The blood of Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ. Now, if we feel our sins, we shall surely want God's light to shine upon his wounds, his shed blood, his hands and his feet, and his side, all of which indicate salvation, complete and absolutely completed. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. It may be that we cannot all see the blood. Well, let us go back to the book of Exodus. And there we find the day when the avenging angel was to go through Egypt and destroy the firstborn of the Egyptians. But before that took place, the Israelites were instructed in what they should do. And they should kill a lamb for each household, or if the household was smaller, then that lamb would be sufficient for both. And that they were to take the blood very carefully and to put it upon the house, the lintel and the side post of the door. And then they were to go inside. And the Lord didn't say, now you put that blood there, when you see the blood, I will pass over you. He said, no. He said, not that, but he said this. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And it may be that you are at times misguided by temptation that you cannot see the blood. Well, we would not belittle it, yet it's not necessary. It's a very valuable blessing when we do see the blood. But God says, when I see the blood. And the result was that the whole family was spared. And the avenging angel went past. There was no death on that solemn night amongst the Israelites. And blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. And those people, they saw the joyful sound in the sacrifices that they were commanded to make and the offerings according to God's instruction at that time. So then, that was the way that they walked then. But we walk in a different light, and yet not unsimilar, or dissimilar. So we read in the epistle of Paul to the Hebrews of these sacrifices. Then said I, now I come to do thy will, God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And after a mention is made, every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins but this man. And the light shines, and blessed be God, if God's light should shine upon the sacred humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. But when you see him between the two thieves, he was the Son of God with power. Only faith could behold him. But as he was the light of the world when he came into it, so he was the light of the world when he went out of it. And where the light was, there was hope. Now this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And so may we be favored to be taken in hand now and lead in this pathway that is set before us in this verse. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. And you will not be able to be quiet if you know the joyful sound. There must be a response. They shall walk with delight, with pleasure, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. And all the while, as the light of God's countenance shines, so it will be shining upon divine truth. And you will be instructed as you go along in life's path. The Lord pardon all that has been amiss in my speaking today, and seal home upon you this blessing that will bring forth joy, joy which is singular to yourself, though may be joined to others as well, and that you are found walking in this way which leads to heaven in the end.
Of heaven, 58 to the tune Grosvenor, 154, hymn 58. Blessed are the souls that hear and know the gospel's joyful sound, peace shall attend the path they go, the light their steps around. Their joy shall bear their spirits up through their Redeemer's name, his righteousness exalts their hope. Nor Satan dares condemn. Hymn 58.
Thank you.
Father's love, the fellowship and communion of the ever-blessed Spirit be with us. Amen.